spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, written by Joseph Mindell, In Her House.
Long ago, in Tiberias, when I sat among the elders as we unraveled together the subtleties of the law, my eyes would often slide from the speaker's face and be drawn beyond the inner circle of spectators to where she stood. She listened with all her mind and body, nodding in agreement or shaking her head, and occasionally writing something down.
You are not listening, Rabbi Meir.
What?
Oh, but I am, Rabbi Yose. You were saying... What were you saying?
We have been asked to decide a point of law, Rabbi Meir.
Yes, of course.
And the heart of the matter is, as the sages have said, that all women have frivolous minds.
She wrote the words down.
All women have frivolous minds.
And then she added two more.
Except Bruria.
Bruria, my wife, mother of our two sons, cooked and sewed and cleaned, and on the eve of the Sabbath she lit candles and recited the Sabbath prayers. It may be that the world has not changed greatly in the 1800 years between your time and ours, so that looking at her, you might say, she was a woman like other women. And perhaps you would be right, except that she was Bruria, who spoke what was in her mind, which was her own.
With all respect to the assembly of elders, may I be heard?
Come forward, Bruria.
But, Rabbi Yehuda,
yes,
after all...
Rabbi Yose.
It's true that Bruria is unusually well-read for a woman, but after all...
I have studied the Torah and the commentaries of the sages.
But we are discussing a question for scholars to decide.
My father was Rabbi Hananya ben Tarakion. I learned from him.
Your father was a scholar.
My husband is Rabbi Meir. I learned from him.
Your husband is indeed a scholar. We would be honored to hear him.
My husband was a young man when he was ordained by Rabbi Akiba. To those who refused to listen to him because of his youth, he said, Look not to the vessel, but to its contents. Many a new vessel contains old wine, but there are old casks that do not contain even new wine. Have I quoted you correctly, Rabbi Meir?
You have spoken well, Bruria, daughter and wife of scholars, but I think you have not convinced Rabbi Yose.
Perhaps Rabbi Yose drinks only from casks of a certain age or size or shape.
Now you are offended, Bruria. Bruria, do you wish to speak on the point of law under discussion?
Yes, Rabbi Yehuda.
Then we will listen.
Please understand, Bruria, I meant nothing personal. It is only that...
That I am a woman. That is obvious to anyone, Rabbi Yose, a scholar or not. But if you do not hear me, how will you know whether what I say is right or true?
The assembly has considered all that has been said.
And the decision, Rabbi Yehuda?
Bruria is right.
Mayor... As I said, I meant nothing personal. I hope you understand.
I understand, Yose.
Oh, I'm glad.
That is, if it is possible for one person speaking to another to mean nothing personal.
I won't get involved with you, Mayor. Everybody knows that you can give 150 reasons for declaring something unclean and then give as many for pronouncing it clean. Just tell me, are we still friends?
We are friends, Yose.
Good, good. Then as one friend to another, let me ask you. Do you read the Roman philosophers?
Some of them.
Well, let me ask your opinion of something I read recently. You might call it an epigram. Give me a wife not too learned. Perhaps it is an indelicate question.
Not at all, you see. I was thinking how prudent are the Romans and some others as well. For after all, nothing personal, you understand. It has been written that every man gets the wife he deserves.
tell me, Breuer, which of these roads will take me on the way to Lida? You're smiling. Have I said something amusing?
You have forgotten, Rabbi Yose, that it is written one should not speak to a woman too much or too long.
Oh, come now, Breuer, daughter and wife of scholars.
That is to say, a woman.
I saw you in the street and asked for the road to Lida.
You said, which of these roads will take me on the way to Lida?
Exactly.
Too much and too long, Rabbi Yose. You could have asked, which way to Lida?
Breuer was counted among the Tanaim, the teachers who interpreted the law. You must not therefore think that in our house we conversed in passages from the Torah and in learned commentaries. Still, there were occasions, as once, when I lost my temper.
What are you saying, Mayor?
You heard what I said, Breuer.
You prayed that men, your neighbors, should die.
They are evil, lawless men. They entice young children. They steal in the marketplace. They set traps for the passerby.
Oh.
I have seen these things done, Breuer.
And if you have?
I am at the limit of patience, the end of endurance of evil.
And if you are? Forgive me, Mayor. I'm trying to understand. All true.
It is true. Let the evildoers perish.
What is in your mind? Is it the words of the psalm, let sinners cease out of the earth? Is that it?
If you like, the text is apt.
Oh, but that is not how I read the verse, Mayor. I do not read hoteim, sinners, but hateim. That is to say, sins. Let sins cease out of the earth.
Must you enlighten not only the assembly of elders, but your husband as well?
Only when it is necessary.
Next, you will be instructing me in your method of interpretation.
Yes.
Look to the end of the verse.
I will look. Let sins cease out of the earth, and the wicked will be no more.
I am instructed, Breuer, and I understand.
That is not enough, is it? I must hate the sin and pray for the sinner.
You are no longer angry, Mayor.
No. You are greatly concerned about evil men whom you do not even know.
Yes. But more concerned about my husband.
Perhaps it can be said in truth of every person, but I say of her that there seemed to be a private Breuer and a public Breuer. The first was concerned about her husband and her sons, while the second extended her concern over many, many others. Among them, the girl Miriam.
Tell me what to do, Breuer.
Don't you want to marry the young man?
Of course I do. I nagged my parents to arrange the marriage.
Well, then.
When I think of how it will be for the rest of my life, I could... I don't know what.
How will it be?
You know. I will get up and light the fire in the morning and put food on the table. Then I will sweep and sew and wash, whatever has to be. Swept and sewn and washed. I will cook, and in the evening I will put food on the table and sweep and wash again.
Oh, how dismal.
Every day I will go to the marketplace and talk with other women about their illnesses or their children.
What do you want me to say, Miriam, that it is hard to be a woman?
All right, it is hard to be a woman. Not for you, Breuer.
No? In my husband's house, who do you think sweeps and sews and washes whatever has to be swept and sewn and washed?
I suppose you do.
Exactly. I sew clothes for my sons and cook meat for my husband and sweep the floor clean for my family to walk on. I do not find it dismal to do these things.
But you have the time to do so much else.
So can you.
I?
If you get up 3 hours before it's light to do the work for your family, you will have time later for your own work.
How can you say that? I'm not a studious type like you.
Oh, you're a foolish girl. Did I say that everyone must be a scholar? Sew dresses to sell to the rich or to give to orphans to be married in. Plant a fruit tree where nothing ever grew before. But above all, refuse. Do you hear me, Miriam? Refuse.
You're frightening me, Breuer.
Am I? Then don't come to me with your complaints. I have no soothing remedies. Are you still here? Then listen. Refuse. You must absolutely refuse to be nothing more than a broom sweeping for the sake of the floor, or a needle sewing for the sake of the cloth. The king of the universe created you a woman, Miriam, not a broom or a needle. How can you live except to the fullest limits of your person, your womanhood?
When you try, they laugh.
Who?
Everybody. The men.
They may laugh. They may hinder you. They may even tie your hands. Didn't I say it is hard to be a woman? Tell me, Miriam, how old are you?
18.
Old enough to know that men are different from women. But I will tell you something that you may not yet know. In one way, they are the same. It is also hard to be a man. Miriam refused to be less than a woman, but be generous in judging a man.
I am Miriam's father.
I know who you are, Tobias.
This is Zipporah, my wife.
I tried to keep him from coming here, Miriam.
Be still, Zipporah. I brought you to listen, not to speak.
My husband is not here, Tobias.
I did not come to see Rabbi Meir, but you.
Ah, about Miriam?
You are putting ideas into it.
That's what heads are for.
If you please, Bruria, no philosophy. All your talk can only make my daughter unhappy and discontented.
Perhaps so. Knowledge can be painful at first.
Miriam has been taught what her obligations are and how to serve her husband and the children she will bear him. That is all she needs to know.
Oh, is that what you think too, Zipporah? Bruria,
what Zipporah thinks is neither here nor there.
You have taught your daughter a narrow kind of knowing.
It is enough for Miriam. She had the misfortune to be born a female.
Misfortune?
Do I have to teach Bruria? Of course it is a misfortune. Isn't that why every man offers daily prayers of thankfulness, that he was not created a woman?
If you are asking a question, the answer is no.
What? What do you mean?
It is a prayer of gratitude for the privilege of carrying out all the precepts of the Torah, as you may perhaps know.
Yes, naturally.
But a woman, because of her household obligations, is released from one type of religious observance. And so, since a man's responsibility, and therefore his privilege, is greater, he expresses gratitude.
I did not ask for a lecture, Bruria.
Then don't expose your ignorance, Tobias.
Serves me right for arguing with a woman. I tell you for the last time, Bruria, you're turning Miriam's head, and I won't have it. Leave her alone.
So, you are here again, Miriam.
I brought her, Bruria.
I would have come by myself.
For the sake of defiance?
Yes.
No! No, Tobias is really not a harsh man, Bruria.
He was angry with me.
With you, Zipporah? Why?
Because when I go to hear Rabbi Meir's discourses, I come home very late.
My husband's discourses are notoriously lengthy.
Because he has so many things to say.
Yes.
How can I leave before he finishes?
But Tobias will not be angry long.
I don't care if he is.
Miriam, there is no sense in defiance for its own sake. It doesn't teach you anything.
Oh, Mother.
Soon you will be leaving your father's house, Miriam. What if your husband commands you or forbids?
He's not like that at all. Our marriage will be like no other.
You see, Bruria, she's still a child. Speak to her, Bruria. Teach her what she must learn.
Rabbi Yosei can see me only as a woman, not a scholar. You look at me and hardly see a person, only a teacher.
Zipporah, be my friend. Not my disciple.
And Miriam?
Yes, Bruria?
I have two sons, but no daughter. Two boys who are always running and who no longer allow me to kiss them. Miriam, will you sit beside me for a little while?
Of course.
I'll tell you an old story that may even be true. Once a Roman lady asked a rabbi...
Was it Rabbi Meir?
No, but it might have been. Rabbi, she said, in how many days did the Holy One create the universe? In 6 days, the rabbi answered. Then tell me, what has he been doing from that time to this? He has been arranging marriages.
Is that all? Said the great lady.
That is so easy, I could do it myself. It may seem easy to you, he said. But to the Holy One, praised be his name, it is just as difficult as parting the Red Sea to take the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt. What are you thinking, Miriam?
If it is as you say, Bruria...
Oh, not I. The rabbi in the story.
If it is really so, then how is it that not all marriages are filled with joy and love from the first day to the last?
Yes, that's really the question, isn't it? I'll tell you what I think. I think that the Holy One, praised be he, undertakes the difficult task of matching a man with a woman with a man. And then he leaves it to each one of us to find our prearranged partners. Miriam, I hope that you have found the husband selected for you in heaven.
In my days, I was known as one skillful with words, whether in the precise shapes of logic or the flowing outlines of tales and parables. But in showing you Barrouria, I must be careful with words, for they can hardly be molded around the many beings united in her one self. When Miriam sat beside her like a daughter with a mother, she was Miriam's mother, without being less the mother of our two sons. And she could believe an old legend without being less an interpreter of the law. Therefore, even I, who knew her best, could be surprised. As once when someone was praising her, listing her virtues, Barrouria nodding her head as if counting them one by one, Barrouria interrupted.
Shouldn't you also mention my modesty?
Or on another occasion, when she replied to one who called her wise above all other women.
Is that so unexpected?
So that I was about to reproach her for boasting, but she went on.
There is, after all, good reason for my wisdom. It is said of Rabbi Meir that whoever only touches his garment becomes wise, while I have walked under his cloak all the years since the Holy One, praised be he, chose him for my husband.
We walked together, Barrouria and I and our sons, until one day that was to us like the end of days. It was a Sabbath. I remained longer than usual in the house of study, so that it was almost dusk when I came home.
I have put out the wine for the Havdalah.
Not yet, Barrouria. It's still the Sabbath. Where are our sons?
They are not here. You have been indoors all day, Mayor. Perhaps you would...
Where did they go?
To the house of study, I think. Perhaps you would like to sit outside while I prepare the evening meal.
I did not see them at the house of study.
No? Then I must have been mistaken.
Barrouria.
Mayor, even though the Sabbath is ending, it is not a time for agitation and concern.
Concern? Why should I be concerned?
Oh, I didn't mean concern. I meant, I don't know what I meant. It doesn't matter, does it?
If they didn't go to the house of study...
Look, Mayor, as we are talking, it has been getting dark. Shall I pour the wine for the Havdalah service? Yes, then I'll set the table and we'll eat.
Without the boys? Something wrong, Barrouria? Are you well?
A cough, it's nothing. We'll eat without the boys. Since they're not here, I mean...
Where can they be?
They are. I am sure that they are not far away.
I'm going out, Barrouria.
But you haven't finished your meal.
I have finished. I'm going to look for our sons.
There is no need, Mayor. You know what boys are, running, playing... Never aware of the time.
You're very strange, Barrouria. You sit down and get up. You flit about from room to room, even during the meal. And you haven't stopped... Forgive me, but it's the only word. You haven't stopped babbling.
Please, sit down there.
No. I must find our son.
Please. I want to ask you a question.
Surely it can wait, Barrouria.
It cannot wait. Some time ago, treasures... of great value were left with me for safekeeping. Now, the owner has come to claim them.
A question, you said?
Yes. Must I return the treasures?
You are not serious, Barrouria.
Answer me, Mayor, please.
The answer is self-evident.
I want to hear you say it.
You must return the treasures, of course, and without hesitation or reluctance, without tears.
Yes, except the tears are perhaps permitted...
What are you talking about?
The Sabbath has ended. It is time for other than joy and gladness.
What is happening, Barrouria?
It has happened. Come with me, Mayor.
Where?
Only as far as the next room. To the bed where your sons lie. A sickness came to the city, swift and deadly, striking at children.
Sons.
Killing where it struck.
No. Gustinelli!
Listen to me. I asked a question, and you gave an answer. What was entrusted to you for a short while
must be returned without hesitation or reluctance. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Praise be the name of the Lord.
Praise be the name of the Lord.
It may be that across the chasm of 1800 years, reality loses its agonizing bite and anguish is softened. I must tell you that on that day, life struggled with death, and we survived because life was strong in Bruria. It is written, every wise woman buildeth her house. Out of the days of her years, Bruria built a house, and in her house, there was shelter for us and a world beside.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 25 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York, New York, 10027. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mrs. Sol Henkind, President of the National Women's League of the United Synagogue of America. Mrs. Henkind.
Surely Bruria, over 1,800 years ago, was the prototype of our synagogue women of today, and the 200,000 women of National Women's League of the United Synagogue of America, largest synagogue women's group in the world, are among her spiritual descendants. We are dedicated to the perpetuation of traditional Judaism in our modern society and to the translation of its high ideals into practice through a living Judaism in the home, the synagogue, and the community. Our organization is currently celebrating its 50th anniversary. Our theme for this Jubilee year is Lift Up Thy Voice with Strength. And this we do confidently, for even as Bruria of old, our strength is based upon the commitment to learning, teaching, and doing. Our founder, Matilda Schechter of blessed memory, who dared to dream of the important role a Jewish woman can play in her community, could scarcely have envisioned the present scope and breadth of purpose of our work. Our leadership consists of outstanding volunteer women who give direction in programming, foster youth activities and adult Jewish education, teach the art of Jewish family living, and bring attention to Jewish books, of which we publish many on our own. Our women have made a vital contribution in transcribing Hebrew prayer books into Braille and cooperate with many other humanitarian Jewish agencies. We stimulate interest in Israel affairs and in the United Nations, where we have a non-governmental observer. We have a very broad program of social action, inasmuch as our women are concerned with the problems which beset their communities, this nation, and the world today. Through our Torah Fund and Residence Hall campaign, we have the privilege of sharing in the support of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. You could say that we are concerned with the totality of living for Jewish women. During this period of Jubilee, we are intensifying all our efforts, and as we enter our second half century, we shall continue to lift up our voice with strength for commitment to our faith and our traditions.
Thank you, Mrs. Henkind. Our Eternal Life drama today, In Her House, was written by Joseph Mindell. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured today as Bruria was Joan Loring. Others in the cast were Roger DeCoven, Ralph Bell, Joseph Bell, Fran Myers, Santos Ortega, and Beatrice Pons. We invite you to join us next week when The Eternal Light will present a special program in observance of the Festival of Passover, Bitter Herb, written by Joseph Mindel. This is Jerry Damon. The Eternal Light, produced for NBC by Rhoda Grady, is directed by Kenneth McGregor. For the seminary, Dr. Ben Zion Boxer of the Forest Hills Jewish Center is program editor. Milton E. Krentz, producer, and Ruth Sussman, program coordinator. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.